Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Wednesday, October 4th, 2023 afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Good afternoon, Rebecca. Please call the roll.
Maps.
Here.
Rubio. Ryan.
Here.
Gonzalez. Wheeler.
Here. All right. We'll hear from legal counsel on the rules of order and decorum. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Portland City Council. To testify before council in person or virtually, you must sign up in advance on the council agenda at www.portland.gov/council/agenda. Information on engaging with the city council can be found on the council clerk's webpage. The presiding officer preserves order and decorum during city council meetings. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. A timer will indicate when your time is done. Disruptive conduct such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If you cause a disruption, a warning will be given. Further disruption will result in the ejection from the meeting. Anyone who fails to leave once ejected is subject to arrest for trespass. Additionally, council may take a short recess and reconvene virtually. Your testimony today should address the matter being considered. When testifying, state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Disclose if you're a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. For testifiers joining virtually, please unmute yourself once the council clerk calls your name.
Great, thank you. The first item is a bit of a technical update here. Could you please read items 832 and 833 non-emergency ordinances?
Item 832, amend Title 33, planning and zoning, and the zoning map to reduce the impacts of future flooding on the city and prevent the degradation of floodplain habitat for endangered and threatened fish species. Item 833, amend flood hazard areas code to comply with Federal Emergency Management Agency National Flood Insurance Program requirements and modify compensatory excavation and removal requirements.
Thank you, colleagues. Today's brief hearing on the floodplain resilience project items will be, it'll be quick. The next step is to update the findings for item 832, which demonstrate how the proposal is consistent with statewide planning goals, metro regional policies, as well as local policies of the comprehensive plan. We also need to reconcile the documents of both items to reflect amendments council has previously voted on. As a reminder, the record remains closed and no public testimony will be heard on today's council action. Can I get a motion, please, to update the findings and reconcile the documents to reflect the amendments?
So moved.
Commissioner Maps moves. Is there a second? Commissioner Ryan enthusiastically seconds. Any further discussion? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Maps.
Aye.
Ryan.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendments pass. Thank you. These items are passed to second reading, which will be on October 11th at 9:45 a.m. time certain. Again, that's October 11th, 9:45 a.m. time certain. The final vote will take place at that time.
And I'll just clarify for the record that the amendment was to item 832 only.
For 832, that is correct. Right. The next two items, please, are items 834 and 835. They will be read together, please. And they are both non-emergency ordinances.
The items are time certain.
Oh, you're right. They are. Okay. We're in recess till 3:30.
This is when I thought we were making good.
Question. Keelan, Rebecca. I had originally been informed that we would read the two items together. I've been informed that that's probably not the right way to do this since they're fundamentally different issues. So we will start with 832, which is a non-emergency ordinance. I'm sorry.
834.
I'm on the wrong page. 834, we'll do that first, complete 834, then we will move to 835. They have different run of shows, different subjects. So let's go ahead and do that. I can't remember if you read 834 into the record yet or not.
Nope,
why don't you go ahead and do it?
Item 834, adopt the FY 2023-24 fall supplemental budget and make other budget-related changes.
Thank you. Colleagues, as a quick review, the fall budget monitoring process, also known as the fall bump, it's one of three major budgeting processes that the city undergoes each year. In a typical year, the fall bump focuses on technical funding adjustments, with approximately 50% of the surplus going towards capital set aside to maintain city infrastructure. As I shared during last week's fall bump work session, general inflation to existing costs, the sunsetting of federal one-time resources to fund ongoing needs, and the elevated level of deferred maintenance all contribute to a demand for resources that continues to surpass availability within the city. As such, my fall bump guidance directed the bureaus be requested to be limited to encumbrance carryover requests, where bureaus requests to use their prior year underspending to fund purchase orders opened during fiscal year 22-23, policy set aside requests either from the general fund or the citywide obligations reserve fund, and technical adjustments and other true-ups where needed. This budget package opts once again to waive capital set aside and allocate available discretionary resource to charter transition implementation work and known public safety cost pressures like overtime payouts for police and fire. This afternoon, City Budget Director Tim Grew will walk us through the two items. First, this item, the fall supplemental budget, and an update to update the fund state of purpose for the recreational cannabis tax fund. We'll get to that separately. We'll cover the fall bump ordinance first. Council will introduce and second amendments for consideration, and then we will hear public testimony. After public testimony, council will deliberate and vote on any amendments. Once we've voted on amendments, we will then transition over to the second item. With that, I'll turn it over to Director Grew to provide an overview of the fall supplemental budget ordinance.
Hello. Thank you. And good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and council members. For the record, I'm Tim Grew, City Budget Director. With me today is Robert Chaney, who's our coordinator of the bump process. The council held a work session last week on Thursday, where we reviewed in depth the mayor's proposed supplemental budget. Because of that, and given that some people may sign up to testify, and some may be observing our presentation today, I will keep the overview brief, but I'm happy to answer questions at any time. While my overview today focuses on the general fund, the entire supplemental budget is open for discussion. An entire budget, which includes a total appropriation increase of $167.3 million for all funds. The bulk of total budget changes are due to truing up fund balances between fiscal years. Outside of the general fund, the largest adjustments include the Portland Clean Energy Community Benefits Fund, which is increasing its total appropriation by $90.7 million as a result of increasing beginning fund balance to match the prior year audited ending fund balance. The Transportation Operating Fund is revising its total appropriation by $29.4 million, including revising beginning fund balance of $17.1 million. And the Citywide Grants Fund, which is revising total appropriation by $23.2 million by recognizing unspent grant revenue. I'll now turn to the general fund. This fall, we are recognizing $42 million in additional general fund balance. This additional balance is due to the higher than forecasted revenues, $16.1 million in total, with business license tax revenue accounting for $9.8 million or 61% of that total amount. Additionally, the remaining additional balance was attributed to prior year underspending, which includes $17.2 million in encumbrance carryovers in the fall proposed budget. And as the mayor said, per city financial policy, half of the remaining excess balance of $1.7 million was initially deposited to be part capital set aside and part unrestricted contingency, but because of our financial situation, the mayor has waived the capital segment of that. Proposed supplemental budget as filed includes $66.2 million in new general fund allocations, which includes funding of non-discretionary sources, for example, interagency agreement adjustments, and in the case of Parks Bureau, increasing its carryover of levy resources. $61.2 million also includes $21.6 million in discretionary resource and policy set-asides for known current costs. There's also $1 million in proposed current appropriation level targets adjustments to reallocate ongoing fund resources for next year by decreasing ongoing discretionary resources. Specifically, appropriation is moved from the Portland Fire and Rescue to the Community Safety Division to support administrative and business consolidation services. And appropriation is moved from the Office of Community and Civic Life to OMF Business Operations, again, for administrative and support Portland's, and to support Portland Solutions. This work will move into these offices in the current year, with some going from the Office of Management and Finance in 24-25. The details of these actions can be found in Exhibit 2 of the proposed ordinance, and we'll be happy to answer any questions pertaining to that. With the changes included in this ordinance as filed today, general fund unrestricted contingency and contingency set-asides currently stand at $66.1 million. This ordinance results in the following contingency account balances: $3 million in unrestricted contingency for known and unknown current year adds, $28.8 million in compensation set aside to support current year Bureau inflationary costs, $34.3 million in policy reserves, and as we mentioned earlier, $0 million in the capital set aside because of the waiver. These are the balances that existed before the proposal of any amendments which may be offered for consideration today or in the next session next week. You have a copy of the full proposed supplemental budget in front of you. Robin and I are happy to walk through any exhibits or any questions you may have on the content of that document. Mr. Mayor?
Great, that was short and to the point. Okay, so we'll now hear and second any amendments. I believe we have
Mr.
one.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to talk to Tim at some point. I can do it after
it.
The amendments.
No, go ahead and do it.
Or now.
Where he's sitting there.
Okay. Director, thank you for that presentation. Just a couple of questions and probably statements, really, but we'll see how it comes out. It is normally this council's practice when we have unexpected dollars towards the end of the year to place them in either unrestricted contingency or capital set aside. Can you remind me again how much we're putting into capital set aside, or how much the proposed bump proposes to put into capital set aside?
Because of the waiver, we're not putting any dollars into capital set aside.
Can you explain where the waiver come from?
From the mayor's direction.
Okay.
And I would say with our acceptance of that, because we're expecting to have a lot of things during this forthcoming process, including transition costs, police costs, a whole bunch of other things. And the amount was so small that we probably would have spent more on a capital set-aside type of situation where normally the bureaus would come in with proposals. So we thought it was best to just consolidate it for future uses.
Sure. Well, how much, I mean, I think you started out today saying that we have, how much in unexpected dollars do we have for the entire package?
Was that 60.2?
You want me to
go ahead.
Yeah. Robert Chaney, City Budget Office. So the difference between the adopted beginning fund balance, which was about $95 million, and the audited ending fund balance was about $42 million. Certain things have to come off the top before we do that, like our encumbrances, the short-term rental true-up to the Housing Investment Fund. So I think what ended up falling to balance would have been closer to $20 million. Or just probably a little bit over $20 million. Part of our recommendations were to set aside money for current year costs, mostly known around cost pressures around public safety bureaus and some attorney's office things. But beyond that...
And transition.
Yes, and that... so beyond that, that's what was filed. That left about 1.7, which would have fallen to balance and been split in two, with half going to unrestricted and half going to the capital set aside. So a little bit over probably $800,000, which, as Director Gru points out, we don't know. We don't have a list of projects to assemble the citywide asset managers group and go through that process. May or may not cost close to $800,000 in just payroll as you do it throughout the process. But beyond that, just with all the known charter change and everything, we felt it more appropriate to recommend spending that money on the charter change, because it seems as of right now, and we're doing this costing, but we might be oversubscribed.
Sure. Well, I appreciate that. I largely follow your logic. I also note that this council has a policy of taking our excess dollars and putting half into capital set aside and half into contingency. I think during my time on this council, with maybe one or two exceptions, we have foregone the capital set aside. As a guy who spends a lot of his day thinking about the city's capital needs, I do wonder if this practice has actually served the city well. And I just wanted to take a moment to sort of just note that, especially for future folks who sit in these seats and try to figure out how to build the city of the future. Do you have any response to that? I mean, that's, I don't know if it's your job to respond.
I still believe it's a good policy, and I know that it's not been used in the last couple of years, but with the unfunded liabilities we have in capital and general fund bureaus, anything we can do to build up money to deal with that, it's money well spent.
Sure. Okay. Thank you very much. Why don't we, I have another set of questions, and then I'd be happy to get on to amendments. Let's talk very briefly about policy set asides that are proposed in the bump. Specifically, I think the mayor is proposing, speaking of charter transition costs, the mayor is proposing $1.757 million for future charter transition costs. What does that buy?
I would suggest, unless you want to weigh in on this, I would suggest that it is a contingency amount. So as we go through, as we talked about at our last meeting, we go through estimating the cost of the transition based upon what we know today, and the facilities work session that you had. If there's a need for additional dollars, at least we would have this money to go to in that event.
Okay, so as I read the budget, we currently have in the 2023-24, basically the current budget, we got $1.7 million for charter transition costs. One of the things that's happening with the proposed bump is to essentially double that with another 1.7.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. But we haven't programmed that other the 1.7 in the 1.7 that we're going to perhaps vote on today.
And that is, I should say that is a policy set aside. So we would have to take action in order to allocate those funds towards facilities.
Okay, great. And but if we approve these dollars as part of the bump, they could be spent in this fiscal year as opposed to. Or with the expectation that they be spent before July?
Could be.
Could be. Okay. But if we were to, that would, if we were to spend these dollars, it would have to be, there would have to be some action taken by council.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that clarification. I'll turn it back to Michael, to Mr. Mayor.
Very good. Any other questions before we get to amendments? Very good. Commissioner Mapps, I think you have an amendment you're going to propose.
I think
Commissioner Ryan has one, and then I've got one. I'm told our fellow commissioners are probably not going to be able to join us, so I will, unless they get lucky, I will not add the emergency clause today, but I'll have one amendment.
Sounds good.
But Commissioner Mapps.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to make the following adjustments to the supplemental budget as filed: to appropriate one-time general fund discretionary resources in the commissioner's office. So here's what I'm proposing to do. Increase bureau program expenses in the general fund of the Commissioner of Public Affairs by $158,590. Increase bureau program expenses in the general fund budget of the Commissioner of Public Safety by $66,734. Increase bureau program expenses in the general fund budget of the Commissioner of Public Utilities by $158,936. Increase bureau program expenses in the general fund budget of the Commissioner of Public Works by $120,847. And decrease general fund unrestricted contingency by $505,107. And then finally, update exhibits 1 through 5 as needed to reflect this change. And for those folks listening at home, let me explain what I'm proposing to do here. This budget amendment deals with the budgets for individual offices on council. We each have a set of dollars to run our offices. This is essentially proposing that these council offices be allowed to roll over currently unexpended dollars into the next fiscal year. May I have a second?
Second.
Thank you.
All right. And we'll call that MAPS number one. And I may ask some questions on that later. And sure. Does that complete your...
That's all I got today.
Very good.
Commissioner, when you were reading off all the different offices, you covered all of us, right?
Yeah, everyone got covered there.
All right, good.
It's confusing because although I think I am the commissioner in charge of... What am I? Technically, I'm the commissioner in charge of public safety, but I'm really the infrastructure guy. It's a weird historical legacy word.
Oh, okay. We have the old terms.
Yeah, until the charter changes, we're kind of stuck with some antiquated language.
Okay. And just for the record, I want to make clear the mayor's office is not in this particular mix. Commissioner Ryan, you have an amendment. Is that correct?
I do. Colleagues, I'd like to introduce an amendment that adds one position to the Portland Parks and Recreation Urban Forestry Program. The position would be funded with park levy resources and has no impact on the general fund. A little context: for years, Portland's been dealing with the threat of the Dutch elm disease, with climate change in the US, and of course, throughout the world, we've been seeing an increase in similar threats from pests like the emerald ash borer, better known as EAB. This position will lead urban forest pest and pathogen management for Portland. The need for this position is urgent due to the detection of emerald ash borer, EAB, 15 miles from the southwestern city limits in June 2022. EAB will affect all 95,000 ash trees in Portland. Development of a plan for minimizing impacts and managing the infestation began soon after detection and is largely complete. This position will lead implementation of that plan. So it's a motion to make the following adjustments to the supplemental budget as filed to add the position of urban forest pest and pathogen specialist. Decreased contingency in the 2020 Parks Local Option Levy Fund 232 of Portland Parks and Rec budget by $109,420. Increase cash transfer expenses in the 2020 Parks Local Option Levy Fund, Fund 232 of Portland Parks and Recreation budget by $109,420. increase Bureau program expense in the general fund of the Portland Parks and Recreation budget by $109,420 and add a 1-point permanent full-time equivalent position authority in the general fund of the Portland Parks and Rec. May I get a second?
I'll second that.
Good. And Commissioner Ryan, just I have in my notes here that this is something the Parks Bureau had intended to put into the bump.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of moving parts. Things get overlooked. But my understanding is this was part of the original package anyway.
That's
and correct. So it's just being added to the list today. Is that
absolutely.
Is that a fair interpretation?
Yes.
Very good. Colleagues, I'd also like to, and we'll call that Ryan number one. I'd also like to make a motion to make the following adjustments to the supplemental budget as filed to recognize supportive housing service funds, which were approved by the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners for the implementation of the temporary alternative shelter sites, the TAS sites. This would increase Bureau program expenses in the grants fund, which is fund 217, budget of the special appropriations, by $20,684,756 in one-time resources. This would also update exhibits 1 through 5 as needed to reflect this change. In other words, I'm making this amendment so that we can accept the funds from the county. Can I get a second?
Second.
Commissioner Ryan seconds. And I do not see our colleagues, so I'll hold off on my second amendment.
Mr. Mayor, we didn't have a motion or a second for Commissioner Ryan's.
Oh, I thought amendment. We did. Commissioner Ryan moved. Commissioner Mapp seconded.
I didn't. I'll second it if we could now.
I was moving it as I was speaking. Yeah. But anyway, I should have ended with
I second that.
We should have done it with more feeling.
Yeah. No, I think we're dealing with Dutch elm disease.
I was so excited to educate everybody about the emerald boar. Yeah.
Well, after the new congressional, gavel pounding, anything we do here seems almost tepid by comparison.
It's a beautiful beetle.
I do have one question, and I think I know the answer to this question, but Commissioner Mapps,
yeah.
on your motion to
carry over,
purpose has been identified specifically for these funds?
Sure. Yes, I can attest to the fact that in my office, for example, when you have transition, let's say someone leaves the office, there are often payouts for things like unused vacation time and whatnot. So our dollars are accounted for, and it's my understanding that other offices have similar issues as well. I could maybe defer it to Commissioner Ryan. Do you have a plan for the dollars that you hope to carry over?
Yes, channeling my chief of staff, absolutely, 100%.
All right. Thank you.
What may I ask?
Well, we didn't know you'd ask this question. I know it was something that was worked out prior to the beginning of the fiscal year. So I don't have any of the details on specific line items are.
It's certainly one of the things I've heard in consultation with chiefs is that my colleagues have held off on hiring because of budget constraints. So I think one of the things that's happening in many offices is they plan to bring on new people in the near future.
Got it. And just for my edification, unused vacation time, don't we have a separate contingency fund?
We have a compensation set aside.
So you don't really need to use these funds for that purpose. Is that correct?
If they did not have these funds, we would have, in terms of anything related to employees, in terms of compensation, we would have taken it out of that compensation set aside.
Okay. I'm not going to draw a hard line on this. If my colleagues feel that they need these resources, I'm not going to stand in their way. It's hardly a budget buster. But I do want to point out some potential unintended consequences of this. The first being that it violates current council fiscal policy. When we use encumbrances, we're very specific about what that means. It has to be purchase orders that are already outstanding. It has to be commitments that have previously formally been made, positions that have already been filled and need to be supported, and the like. It's not for potentially anticipated funds. The second unintended consequence of this is it's, you know, doing some, well, here, you wrote it here. It's $505,107, which is more specific than I was going to be. It's coming out of the unrestricted contingency, which currently is the source of funding that we use for police and fire overtime. And we've heard certainly from the police bureau, and we've heard from the fire bureau that overtime is a significant concern at the moment. So this is about $500,000 out of what, approximately a $3 million contingency, if my recollection is correct. So I just want my colleagues to be aware of that. And I think I've previously signaled my reluctance to support this for those reasons. But that being as it may, I appreciate the opportunity to have the discussion.
Sure. And Mr. Mayor, I want to thank you for sharing your concerns. They're duly noted. And I look forward to continuing this conversation when this comes back for a second reading.
Great. And there is a third consideration, now that I'm thinking about it, that I will add. I have routinely, in my proposed budgets, denied this opportunity to bureaus and bureau directors. And they will undoubtedly be looking at this and saying, the council has denied us this strategy, but the council is using it for their own offices. And so I just want people to be prepared for that. But all you budget folks from the bureaus who are staring at me and smiling, I'm not going to support this. So there you have it. So expect the policy to continue to be enforced, at least as far as my proposed goes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Commissioner Maps.
And for the record, it was an agreement with former staffer Christine Owen that worked with at least my chief of staff on putting this forward and knowing this would come up later. So All right. It didn't come out of thin air.
Okay. So at this point, do we have, you look like you're about to say something. No. It always makes me nervous when my attorney's about to say something. where was I? Public testimony. Do we have people signed up for public testimony?
We do not.
Okay, very good. Then let's get right to...
So it was around constituent relations. Christine Owen offered the option to all chiefs in a meeting to hire additional staff for constituent relations. It is the highest need. I think we've had unprecedented amounts of emails and calls that weren't accustomed to council offices in prior years. Hence, okay, the challenges and the emergencies that the city's dealing with.
So. Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Are there any further comments or questions or discussions, or can we go ahead and get to the vote on the amendments? So what we'll do is we obviously don't have enough council members to vote on this today, but we will vote on the amendments and we'll pass it through to a second reading. First we will vote on MAPS number one.
MAPS?
Aye.
Ryan?
Aye.
Wheeler?
No. The amendment passes 2-1. Ryan, number one?
MAPS?
What? What?
You need three votes?
We do. Oh. Oh, that's why you were looking at me funny. I'm
just wondering, we all were. If you were
wanting to
why don't we do this? I want to be fair to my colleagues, as tempting as it is to take the victory and run. I have to work with these folks, and I see them in the hallway, and they know where I live. So how do we redo that? Do I call, I won, so I can ask the council for reconsideration. Can I not? I can pass move a motion for reconsideration.
On the amendment. Yeah. On the amendment. We use that on the entire pack. Yes. But yes, go ahead. Yeah. So we could do that. And yeah. Then are you changing?
Yeah. So colleagues, I'd like to move for reconsideration. Can I get a second?
Second.
We have a second. Please call the roll on the reconsideration.
Maps.
Aye.
Ryan.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. So now we have the reconsideration. So at this point, both amendments, then in fact, all three amendments, I'll do them one at a time. Maps number one, we will continue that amendment. Ryan number one, we will continue that amendment. Wheeler number one, we will continue that amendment to the time certain that we discussed before, which will be when is the time certain?
And we have to vote on each separate
to the regular agenda.
No, because we're just going to move the whole thing to second reading. When is it's just on the regular next Wednesday?
Well, we can make it a time certain.
It can be moved to time certain from the
okay.
regular.
Do you so I'm going to go ahead and move it all right now. Do you want to identify a time certain?
May I jump in here?
Yeah.
Real quick. I believe Commissioner Rubio might be out for some window next week. Do I have that right? 11 to 2. Okay. So if we're just going to make it.
So if we do it in the afternoon session, is that okay? Does anybody have any problems with the, what's that? 4 p.m.? Can we make 4 p.m. next Wednesday work?
3:45.
And next Wednesday, just doing a quick search here, is the 11th, right? So, all right. So, colleagues, item 834 is a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to 3:45 p.m. time certain on October 11th, and the amendments are open. Good. A little more complicated than I wanted for late in the afternoon. Now we'll move to item number 835, also a non-emergency ordinance.
Item 835, update the fund statement of purpose for the recreational cannabis tax fund to allow the city budget office to establish set aside funds for an operating reserve policy.
Colleagues, as part of the fall bump, we're also updating the fund statement of purpose for the recreational cannabis tax funds. This ordinance updates the fund statement of purpose to include a reserve requirement, in this case, 10%. However, this reserve will not be set up immediately. As you know, the proposed fall supplemental budget implements a brief one-time cut in cannabis resources to Prosper Portland. After Prosper Portland is made whole from this cut, pending forecasts, the city will begin to establish a 10% reserve for this fund to mitigate potential cash management issues and to protect against flagging revenues in this market. With that, I'll turn it back to Director Grew with the City Budget Office to overview this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Hello again.
Hello again. This ordinance is a very straightforward action that we are recommending. The Recreational Cannabis Tax Fund, like all funds in the city, has a fund statement purpose that's codified in city policies. As it stands, the policy does not currently mandate a reserve requirement for this fund. And as you may recall, last year, this fund had an overexpenditure that we needed to deal with, and that's not the first overexpenditure. So we recommended to the council via a budget note that we should establish a 10% reserve so that in the future, when things like this happen, they have funds to go by versus having to do a 5% across the board or selecting a particular program to overcome the overexpenditure. So what we have recommended is that they have a 10% reserve. And that is less beginning fund balances. So it's the actual operating budget that the 10% will be on. And if they utilize that 10% reserve before they can allocate funds to anything else, they'll have to rebuild that 10% reserve. So that's our proposal. And we think it's a good cash management option and allows the fund to continue work and not necessarily have to cut programs during the year.
Questions?
Yeah, I have a quick question. So we just so I understand the mechanics here. So we set up this fund. But in down years, we don't put dollars in it. So this year, saying this year, we're not going to put dollars in it because we
expected. They had nothing to, the only way that they could cover their shortfall would be to take money from another program. And in the past, they've actually done 5% across the board cuts.
Okay. So
we like to avoid that.
Is there an, are we proposing an automatic formula for when we fund the reserve?
It'd be during the budget process.
So is that, let's put it this way, are the first new dollars that come into the program, do they go into that fund, or is that a decision that is made?
It would be in their forecast. We would run their forecast and we'd calculate the 10%, and that would be incorporated into their budget for the fund.
Okay. Thank you. That's helpful. And I'll, well, actually, let's just get out of here. Thank you. That's helpful.
Okay.
Anything else? Rebecca, do we have any public testimony on this item?
No, we do not.
All right. This is also a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It will also move to October 11, 3:45 p.m. time certain. And we're adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks.